This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, March 3rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. For frequent flyers, the month of March marks an almost unbelievable anniversary, a year with no flights. As vaccine rollouts continue and cities begin to open up, you might be anxious to get back into the friendly skies. But when you do, you might not be picking up exactly where you left off.
This is a restart, and it is the opportunity for some travelers to say, you know, the airline that I always flew, they no longer have a direct flight to the city I'm going to. So now I have to make a connection. Well, I could do it on United or Delta or American or whoever. And so it is an opportunity to think, you know, maybe I'm going to switch my loyalty.
So what should travelers do before reentering the maze of frequent flyer programs, TSA checkpoints, and the dreaded ticket booking websites? Our Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney has a checklist, and he'll share it with us after the break.
This podcast is supported by Indeed.com, helping you find quality candidates with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to help show you great candidates instantly. Receive a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/yourmoney. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a frequent flyer or business traveler, you've probably developed a routine to efficiently shuttle through airports and board flights. But when air travel resumes, you might find yourself in a bit of turbulence. Our Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney is with us to talk about a very different post-pandemic air travel experience. Scott, thanks for being here.
Always good to be with you.
So just as much as the pandemic grounded air travelers and disrupted their routines a year ago, is returning to the air almost like another disruption of the routine, you know, their work-from-home life?
I think people have gotten very used to not traveling. Some have missed it terribly. Some have not missed it at all. But I think for all of them, they're out of practice. And so going back on the road is going to take relearning a lot of things that they used to take for granted.
Okay, so let's talk about some of that relearning of processes. You know, booking flights and sorting through apps and airfares. That can be frustrating, but many travelers had gotten that process down to a science. So how much has that process that they were so used to changed?
You know, I think the process has changed and their muscle memory has changed. I talked to some people who were sort of horrified that they couldn't remember their password for different airline websites, or went on, United changed how it did upgrades shortly before the pandemic. And so that was unfamiliar to some veterans. And, you know, to them, the worst thing in the world is you can be a newbie, a rookie. And they felt like rookies. And at the same time, there have been huge changes in boarding procedures and in how hotels run their operation and ground transportation. There are just a whole lot of things in the travel world that have changed that that a lot of people won't be familiar with.
Now let's talk about what's changed once you get to the airport. You know, for travelers who had signed up for programs like TSA PreCheck or Global Entry, things like that, what sorts of changes can they expect?
You know, I think the first thing that they need to pay attention to are expiration dates. PreCheck or Global Entry, you want to make sure that your validation hasn't expired. When they get to the airport, they're going to find lines that are spaced out and, you know, 6 feet apart. We don't really know what the impact of that is going to be once travel really picks up. It's not a problem now, but you could imagine seeing lines, sort of snaking out the door, and because everybody's spread out 6 feet. So that's going to be a shock to some people. The airport itself, once you get through security, you know, not all restaurants may be open. That may be not all airport or airline clubs may be open. They may not have the same services. Some of them are not serving food or only having prepared snacks you can grab, things like that. The bar may not be open. So just a whole lot of changes that are going to make for a different experience than you used to have at the airport.
And you know, Scott, as much as travelers are looking to get back into a groove, the airlines are getting back on their feet too after being bailed out by the federal government. As air travel starts to resume, how much are we going to see competition among airlines to win the trust and the business of travelers?
I think there will be a lot of that. This is a restart, and it is the opportunity for some travelers to say, you know, the airline that I always flew, they no longer have a direct flight to the city I'm going to. So now I have to make a connection. Well, I could do it on United or Delta or American or whoever. And so it is an opportunity to think, you know, maybe I'm going to switch my loyalty. And I think airlines will offer status matches where, you know, if you have a high level status at a particular airline, a competitor will say, hey, come over to us. If you, you know, make four flights within 90 days or set some kind of goal, we'll give you your status right from the start. And you can keep it if you meet that goal. You know, for the industry, I think because schedules are going to be reduced, because there are going to be fewer nonstop flights to destinations, more connections, the hubs become more important. So both for airlines and for their customers, there's going to be sort of, okay, now I'm going to be spending a lot of time in a hub. Do I want it to be Chicago, or do I want it to be Minneapolis, or do I want it to be Dallas or Houston or wherever? You can really sort of rethink what my regular travel life is going to be.
And aside from the cost in money, travel also has a cost in terms of time. And it seems like the pandemic has changed the way travelers budget time as well.
Yeah, I think time has changed, if you can think of it that way. You know, for some of them, this has been, as horrible as the pandemic has been, the silver lining is they've spent more time with family, or more time with friends, or more time on hobbies, or things that they had neglected before, relationships. And so now the question is, well, do I go back to the old way of doing things, or is it different? Maybe I'm not going to travel as much because I need to take care of those relationships, or spend more time with my family. I think this is a real awakening in terms of how we spend our time. Simply, how much time to devote to exercise. You know, people have had the time to do more of that. And so now spending all your time in an airplane seat and shuttle bus to a hotel and all that may become a whole lot less attractive to people who want time for exercise.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Great to be with you, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.